to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for April 28th, 2024. Fifth Sunday of Easter by Reverend Eric Williams.
It's an exciting day, a wonderful morning for baptisms, although I think William already took off. I think he took one look at this and said, I'm out of here. But we expect he'll be back in time for his baptism. It's a joyful day because like a couple baptisms that we've had, this is a multi-generational family at St. Philip's. Pat and Bill Wagner met at St. Philip's, right? Your parents were members here, and I was blessed to preside at Ann and Peter's wedding in Grosse Pointe a few years ago. How long ago was that? That was my first wedding here. Yeah, 7 years ago. Where does the time go? And here you are with two kids to be baptized with friends and family and this parish family. And as we think about that connectedness, I think I'm really drawn to our gospel today of Jesus talking about the vine and the branches, right? We see how that vine plays out in the life of the Spina Wagner family and in this parish. We see that continuity and that wonderful heritage of faith passed on from one generation to another. And that makes this especially joyful and special today. When we think about the vine and the branches, we also think about our longer heritage of faith. We have the wonderful reading today, very appropriate for a baptism, of the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. So, you know, when Jesus was teaching, most of his ministry was with the people of Israel, Jews who had grown up with the traditions of their ancestors, and Jesus was proclaiming to them a new covenant, a new way of understanding their faith in light of his life and eventual death and resurrection. But then there's this interesting little note in the Gospels, people who weren't part of the people of Israel showing up and finding meaning in the teaching of Jesus. We have the Samaritan woman at the well. We have the Syrophoenician woman. We've got all these characters who are Samaritans and Gentiles showing up. And today it is this Ethiopian eunuch, a court official in charge of the treasury for one of the great ancient powers of the world, the kingdom, or in this case, the queendom of Ethiopia. And he is a man who has heard about Judaism and he's intrigued by what he's learned. He's somehow gotten hold of a book and books were precious and rare in those days, and he's been reading the book of Isaiah, the most beloved of all of the Old Testament texts quoted in the New Testament. Isaiah is in some ways, the gospel in early form, right? We have so much of our understanding of Jesus comes from the prophet Isaiah. So he's reading this, and he's been to the temple, and he's wondering about how he can be connected to this faith in God. And then Philip shows up. Now, little disappointment, it's not our Philip, it's not St. Philip of our parish, sorry, it's the other Philip who was a deacon, who was commissioned to be an evangelist and also to help with the ministry to the poor. He is sent by the Holy Spirit to this Ethiopian and said, talk to this guy, he's ready to hear the good news. And so Philip, picture this, here's the chariot going along and here's Philip running next to the chariot going, let me tell you about the prophet Isaiah. And eventually he gets invited into the chariot and he says, you know, this book you're reading, let me tell you what it's all about. Let me connect you to the amazing good news about Jesus, who died and was raised by God and who gives us eternal life in his name. And then there's some water and the Ethiopian says, hey, why wait? Let's get baptized right now. And so they do. What a wonderful story for this morning. The Ethiopian eunuch story reminds us that whatever our station in life, wherever we are, whatever is happening to us, we have the invitation and the opportunity to get plugged in to what God is doing in the world. You know, so much of us, our life is about being drained. I see so many people who just are so exhausted all the time, right? It seems to be the spirit of our age is just being exhausted. I think about it like my car. I have an electric car, a little GM that I love, and when I'm driving around, I can watch the battery go down, right? As I'm driving, especially if I put on the heat or the air conditioning, I can just watch that power bar go lower and lower, and I know that eventually I'm going to have to recharge. So I get to my garage and I plug it in and poof, within a few hours, back to full power. If only life were that easy. If only we had that kind of easy plug-in repower, right? For most of us, we go along in life so challenged by so many of the demands on our lives, family and work and just society. Just reading the newspaper can make you feel exhausted when you see all of the problems and conflicts in the world. And we wonder, how do we gain this sense of power, recharge? Where does that come from? Well, obviously, for us Christians, it comes from our relationship with Christ, about being grounded in our core identity as God's people. That's what we do in baptism. It's one of the things we were talking about in our class yesterday. We get back to the basics in our baptism service and the baptismal covenant that we'll say in just a moment. We get back to the core things that give us our sense of meaning, purpose, identity, and power. And that is being rooted and grounded in our relationship with God in Jesus Christ. Our belief in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, living out our faith to the best of our ability. And how this works for us, I think, is so interesting. I had a parishioner many years ago who was a lapsed Methodist. He was a social worker, and he had gotten completely burned out in doing good. His whole life was about helping people. But he found as he did that work that he got more and more spiritually and emotionally exhausted. And then one day his wife, who was an Episcopalian, said, "You know, Bill, maybe we should go back to church." And so they came to this little mission church where I was serving, and things began to change for him. Something happened for him in that church, and we weren't doing any great shit. You know, we were just kind of doing the usual Episcopalian stuff, you know, and kind of bread and butter church stuff. It wasn't like we were setting the world on fire. But what he found by plugging back into the power source was a complete change of life. He found renewal. He found energy. And he found a recommitment to his purpose. After feeling burned out for several years, he had retired and he was kind of at loose ends. He took on running our local food pantry, soup kitchen. And that was a tough job. Those volunteers were tough to work with, I have to tell you. It was a notorious place. But he found through this church connection, through a recommitment to prayer and Bible study, he found the power and the ability to see his life in a new way. And he was a changed person. His wife couldn't stop talking about it, how he was just on fire. He was alive. He was full of the Spirit because he had found a way to plug back in. And I think that's what a lot of us yearn for in our lives. And it's what God offers and invites us to over and over again, is to find that recharge. Whatever it looks like in your life, for a lot of people, it can look different ways. It can be reconnecting to physical health or to nature or to practices like prayer and contemplative prayer that we do on Saturday. It could be all different ways, but when we do that, what happens to us is transformational. It's what we are hoping for William and John today, that as we invite them into this relationship with God, that they're going to be plugged in to the source of their life, that they're going to be given the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be fun to watch how those gifts of the Spirit play out in their lives. What unique gifts and combination is going to make a difference for them? How are they going to develop those gifts, and what kind of people are they going to become? Their parents and godparents are committing to walk with them in that journey, and I want to let you in on a secret. We all get to be honorary godparents for William and John. In a few moments, after I ask the godparents to make their promises, I'm going to ask all of you to stand and say, will all of you who witness these promises do all in your power to support these persons in their life in Christ? And you're going to say, we will. And if you don't say it loud enough, we're going to do it again. Because it takes all of us, right? It takes the community to support that work, to be recharged. I've said this over and over, you're probably bored of it. One of the things that I found so powerful at St. Philip's for me personally is that this is a church, no matter what's happening in my life from Monday through Saturday, when I show up here on Sunday morning, whatever mood I'm in, however much sleep I got, I get renewed. I get recharged. I come away every Sunday full of more than I came with. And that's what I hope for William and John. It's what I hope for all of us, that by reconnecting to the source of our life in Christ, recharging, repowering, we will be given everything, the abundance of God's grace that we need to do the work that God has called us to do. So, let's do it.